way to your seats. Good to have each of you with us this morning, those of you who are here with us, also those of you who are joining us online. You've made a right decision to worship God. As we begin our worship, I want us to look at John, chapter 19. Here Christ is died. And beginning in verse 31, it says, since it was the day of preparation, and so the bodies would not remain on the cross for on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate if the legs might be broken, that they might be taken away. So the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who had been crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and at once there came out blood and water. You probably have heard, read, where people with medical backgrounds who've explored this said that that's definitely a sign of death because of the separation between the red blood cells and the white, which would look like water, as proof that they didn't make a mistake, that Christ truly died, and then the evidence shows that he truly rose from the dead. He was seen by too many people in too many different places to obviously deny that. But I want us to look at that blood and water from a spiritual standpoint. Christ died for our sins. John said in his first epistle that we are washed in the blood. The blood of Christ washes away our sins. So he bled. He was our sacrificial lamb. His blood was shed for our sins and for the forgiveness of those sins. But there was also water. Christ said, go teach to repent and be baptized. Peter said to the people on Pentecost, repent and be baptized. We're buried with Christ in baptism to begin a newness of life. So we worship this morning because of the blood that was shed, and because through the water of baptism, we can have our sins washed away. Let's keep that in mind as we begin our worship this morning.
Good morning. Our first song will be number 47. We'll start with the sopranos only, and then we'll add each voice part as we go along. We'll add the altos next, and then the tenors, followed by everyone on the fourth verse.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Trinity in the one, give us sunshine, rise to thee.
550. If you're using a hymn book, we'll sing number 550. If you would, let's stand as we sing this song. We'll sing the first and the third verse.
I walk with the King, I walk with the King to heaven and
following this song, to be on the overhead only.
Thank you.
Let's join in prayer. Father, we come praising you this morning for the great God you are, the only true and living God. And we acknowledge you as our creator and the sustainer of our lives. We know you, we are totally dependent on you. And Father, though you are perfect in all your ways, we know that we sin. We come asking that you forgive us and that you strengthen us for whatever temptations might come our way. Our Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for. You provide for us daily and abundantly so. We thank you for the many blessings that you provide. And Father, we ask your special blessings on those who are undergoing health, financial, family, or other difficulties. We ask that you be with those who have recently lost loved ones. And we ask, too, that you give healing to each one affected. Lord, be with us all. We so need you. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
For our lesson this morning, if you have a hymn book, if you're using a hymn book, we're singing number 122. Number 122, The Love of God. If it's convenient, let's stand once more as we sing.
Since the love of God is shed, Christ's blessings on my head. Oh,
Mark is our song of encouragement number 948. Our song after the lesson will be number 948.
Now's the time to take the children to the children's training class. Our reading, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name? And do many mighty works in your name. And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness.
How blessed we are to be able to gather together and worship God as a family in which love is supreme. There is a lot of love in this family. I have seen it through the years. You have felt it. This is the right place to be. And we're just so glad God has taught us about love. He's demonstrated it in his own son as he lived on this earth. And now it's up to us to carry on that legacy, to share it with others. And let's begin this morning before we leave the auditorium. After we're dismissed, look around and see somebody that you may not know so well and go up and say, we're glad you are here. Come back and join us again. And they may have been coming here a lot longer than you, but they still need that encouragement. And so let's share that love with one another, smiles, handshakes. Just share the love. It's a good thing. We're especially glad that you're with us. If you're visiting with us, I have already met several people. This is their first time to be with us. And welcome. We are glad you chose to come out and join us. If you're in the area again, we want you to come back and join us anytime you possibly can. Others of you are passing through and pass through more often. Come back and join us anytime you can. But really happy you're here with us. All of you who are joining us online, thank you for tuning in. And we want you to come out and join us if possible in person. But until that day comes, keep on tuning in. And we worship God in this way as well. But we're just glad to be here tonight. We'll meet again at 6 o'clock, Lord willing. And at that time, we're going to talk about the question, does God still call? Does God still call? We know there are many examples in the Bible where God called upon certain individuals audibly. They could hear his voice. Does that still happen? What does the Bible say? Let's come together tonight and study that. And I know we'll be benefited from it, so I really hope you'll come out and join us for that. But we're glad you are here. If we can help any of you in any way, please let us know, because we want to do everything we can to help everyone. Now let's get our Bibles out. This is the biggest help we can get, is to hear from God and to find out what his message is for us. So I really hope you'll be turning in your Bible, going through your electronic version of it, if that's what you've got. And let's study together and make sure that what you hear, what you believe, what you practice is really from the Word of God. I'll begin by talking about my college years a long time ago. While I was there at Freed Hardeman College, the cafeteria was sometimes referred to as Tomaine Tavern. Now, if you don't know what Tomaine means, that's not a compliment. Tomaine is sometimes synonymous with food poisoning. Well, I don't know anybody that actually got really sick from eating the food in that cafeteria. I think it was just one of those ways of saying, this is not so great, and we wish we could have something a lot better, but that's what you hear at every college campus, I dare say, and probably every hospital and every school lunchroom, but you know, it wasn't that bad. But sometimes things are that bad. You know about food recalls, don't you? The FDA may post a recall on a certain food product. And it will say, we have found this has traces of, and whatever it may be, Listeria or, you know, E. coli or whatever it may be. And they recommend that you throw it out. If you've got that product, do not take a chance, throw it out. And I think most of us take seriously those kinds of warnings. And we go to that product and we say, well, do I have that? And sure enough, there's the brand name. We look for the product number or when it was manufactured. And if that matches, well, you know, we'll just take a chance. Not many of us would do that, I think, because we know that food poisoning can be very unpleasant and sometimes even life-threatening. Well, we're looking today at something kind of in that same genre. I'm thinking about a statement John made in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, John said, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world." That's even more serious than the FDA issuing a food recall. This is a divinely inspired author saying, do not believe every spirit. And by spirit, I think he's saying anything you hear that relates to God, Jesus Christ, the heavenly realm, don't believe everything. Well, what can we believe? Test the spirits, whether they are from God. Now, that's what the Bible says. The question is, are we taking that seriously? Is that something that we routinely do? And if not, is it safe? Are we traveling on a safe course by not testing the spirits? Well, first of all, let's talk about when people fail to test the spirits. Let's go to a passage in 1 Kings chapter 13. 1 Kings chapter 13, and here we have a very interesting account of a young man that did not test the spirits, and it didn't come out so well for him. Now, when we come to 1 Kings 13, we're looking at the northern kingdom of Israel. The kingdom has just recently split in two. There is the northern kingdom, which took most of the tribes of Israel, and there's still the southern kingdom with Judah and Benjamin and Levi. But the king of the northern kingdom, Jeroboam, he had been handpicked by God, but very soon after he was king, he began doing things wrong. He set up places of worship where he should not have. Worship should still have been in Jerusalem, but he said, we'll set up places in this place, that place, and just go there and don't even think about going back to Jerusalem. And there were altars there, and it was all false worship. And so God sends this young prophet to that place in Samaria, and he says, prophesy against the altar. And the prophecy was not good. This altar is going to be destroyed, the ashes of it will be poured out, and the bones of men will be burned on it one day. And he even names the king that would make that happen, Josiah, about 300 years later. Well, the king, Jeroboam, happened to be at that altar when this young prophet arrived. And he was offering a sacrifice. He wasn't qualified to offer a sacrifice, but that didn't matter to him. And so when the prophet prophesied against the altar, the king stretched out his arm and said, seize him. And the idea, of course, was arrest him, and we're going to make him wish he had never prophesied something like that. But the king's arm froze. It dried up, the text says. He could not move it. It was totally paralyzed. And he realized, God has done this to me. And he immediately says this. Let's go to 1 Kings 13 now, beginning in verse 6. In verse 6, the king said to the man of God, this younger prophet, entreat now the favor of the Lord your God and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. And the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him, because, and it became as it was before. In other words, he now knows this really is a man of God. He made my arm free up and I can move it again. And so the king is grateful. And notice what he says in verse 7. The king said to the man of God, come home with me and refresh yourself, and I will give you a reward. That sounds pretty nice, doesn't it? Go back to the palace, eat the king's food, drink the king's drinks. That's a great deal. Let's do that. Except the man of God said to the king, If you give me half your house, I will not go in with you, and I will not eat bread or drink water in this place. Why not? For so was it commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water nor return by the way that you came. So the prophet went another way and did not return by the way that he came to Bethel. This is an impressive young man. First of all, he dares to go into the place where the king is and prophesy a very negative message about what the king was doing. That takes courage. And now the king is inviting him to come back and share a feast with him. He says, I can't do that. God told me not to. That's impressive that he would turn down a rare opportunity like that because God told him not to. But the story doesn't end there. As he's going home, an older prophet hears what happened. He says, I'm going to go catch that fella, and I'm going to bring him back. And listen to what he says in verses 15 and following. 1 Kings 13, beginning in verse 15. He says in verse 15, then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And the younger prophet said, I may not return with you or go in with you. Neither will I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For it was said to me by the word of the Lord, you shall neither eat bread nor drink water here nor return by the way that you came. He's still holding firm to the word of God. Good for you, young man. But now we find this turn of events in verses 18 and 19. The older prophet said to him, I also am a prophet as you are, and an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you into your house that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied to him. That's what the text says. But he lied to him. This was not revealed to this man by the word of the Lord. He was lying to him. And guess what? The younger prophet did what he offered him to do. And he came back and sat down to eat with this older prophet. Now, go to verses 20 through 22. As they sat at the table, the younger man, the older man, the word of the Lord came to the prophet. Now the word of the Lord is coming to this older prophet who had brought him back. He cried to the man of God who came from Judah, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the command that the Lord your God commanded you, but have come back and have eaten bread and drunk water in the place of which he said to you, eat no bread, drink no water, your body shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. In other words, you're not going to make it home alive. If you keep reading that account, that prophecy came true. It came from the Lord. Yes, it's going to come true. And on the way, a lion attacked him and killed him. And as the older prophet came along, there was the lion standing by the body of this young man, not eating it, not mauling it or anything. And there on the other side was a donkey that the man was riding on. And he knew, this is God's work. I have done wrong. And the old prophet repented of what he had done, but it was too late. This young man that was clinging to the word of God, saying, I've got to do what God tells me, now is doing what God told him not to do. Why? Because he believed a lie. He believed a lie. Test the spirits. Do not believe every spirit. That's what John says. And you see, that's the idea that we're looking at today. But we got to ask, is this really a common problem? I mean, we're talking about something that happened a long time ago in a country far from here. Well, let's listen again to what the Bible says. Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. We talk about this occasionally, Romans 15 and verse 4. Why do we bother going back to the Old Testament? Paul wrote, whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. So Paul says, yes, if it's in the Bible, it's worth your time to read and think about. God gave it to us so that we might be instructed, that we might have hope. And so there we are. That's one reason. But also think about what Jesus said, and this was a passage that Josh read for us earlier in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 21. Remember those people that said, Lord, Lord? Jesus said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Now, what's the problem here? They said, we've done many wonderful works. We've cast out demons in your name. We've healed people in your name. And yet you're not letting us in the kingdom? Why not? You've not done the will of my Father in heaven. You've listened to somebody else that says, this is okay, when you didn't listen to God. That's the problem. It is a common problem. Jesus said, we must not fall to it. And so when John says again in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, beloved, do not believe every spirit. Every voice that claims to speak for God, that claims to be a follower of Jesus Christ, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. For many false prophets have gone out into the world. Well, let's move on now and ask the question, how do we test the spirits? Just what do you mean by that, John? How can I test the spirits? Let me give you three ideas, all of them from the Bible. And again, I want you to check me out. Test me. As I give you this lesson, test me and make sure this is really what is in the Word of God. Number one, we got to recognize that evil forces are at work. Recognize that evil forces are at work. There are some people that do not believe in the existence of Satan. They say, well, people make bad choices here and there, but you know, this is life, just enjoy life, don't worry about it. The Bible says, be concerned, because there are evil forces at work in this world. In 2023, the Pew Research Center found that over 80% of Americans believe they have a soul or spirit in addition to their physical body. That's encouraging, isn't it? 80%, it's actually like 82% that said in 2023, yeah, I believe that there's something more than just my physical body. And almost the same number is like 81% said that I believe there is a spiritual realm out there, even though I can't see it. But does this mean that same percentage of people are reading their Bibles, following Jesus? Unfortunately not. They may say, I believe that there is another realm. I believe that I have a spirit or a soul, but not a lot of them are listening to God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 and 12, this ought to get our attention. Ephesians 6, verses 11 and 12, he first of all says, put on the whole armor of God. What if, as we were leaving today, people were out in the lobby handing you bulletproof vests? That's not going to happen. But what if? What if they were handing out bulletproof vests and say, you need to put this on before you walk outside? Would that make you think a little more clearly and be a little more alert and maybe dash to your car? Well, that's not going to happen here today. But this is kind of the equivalent. Listen to what he says. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. The devil doesn't want you to believe in him. That would make you alert. The devil says, come on, I don't really exist. Look at that silly picture of a red being with horns and pitchfork and a long tail. Just laugh at it. Paul says it's real. Put on the whole armor of God. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. This is real. This is real. You can laugh at it. God gives you that ability to laugh at it. This is deadly serious. And Paul says, you need that armor of God. Peter agrees. Go to 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and the first part of verse 2. 2 Peter chapter 1, or rather chapter 2, 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. But false prophets also arose among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the master who bought them, bringing upon themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their sensuality. That's hard to believe, isn't it? I mean, they're bringing in destructive heresies. You'd think people would know. This is not right. But if you don't know the Word of God, you don't know that. And he says many false prophets are going out. They're bringing in secretly, bringing in destructive heresies. Evil is indeed at work in this world. It's a good thing to trust people. I really do. I want you to trust people, but sometimes trust becomes naivety. You believe anything. Let's not become that. Let's become people that realize there are some serious problems out there, and I need to be on the alert. But let's move on to the second idea about how does a person test the spirits. Well, first of all, recognize evil forces are at work. Second, recognize the deceptive tactics of evil forces. Highlight that word, deceptive. It means they deceive. You know what deceptive is, don't you? It happens all around us. It happens more and more now that there are these, all kinds of artificial intelligence, all kinds of telephone robocallers. You know, there's all kinds of deceptions out there in the world. This says it happens in the spiritual realm as well. As I was preparing this lesson, I typed the question into my search engine, which was Microsoft, and it's Microsoft Copilot. I put this question as, is baptism necessary for salvation? And you know what came up almost immediately? A big no. That's what it had at the top of my screen. Is baptism necessary for salvation? It said no. And then I typed another question in. It says, does the Bible teach that baptism is necessary for salvation? And this message came up, faulty interpretation. Now, am I going to believe the Copilot, artificial intelligence? It's been programmed to search all kinds of places, not just the Bible. It will give you some Bible references, but it also searches through what people say, and it puts that as the consensus. This is what most people are saying. That's deceptive, because God is the one we should follow, not the majority, not artificial intelligence. And you find many passages in the Bible, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, Acts 22:16, 1 Peter 3:21, and on we could go. That no, baptism's not the only thing, but it is a thing. It is a part of the process. And if you try to sidestep that, you don't have the assurance of salvation. You don't have God's assurance, because that's not the plan he's given you. Matthew 7:15, listen to what Jesus said. Jesus, this is the one talking. He said this in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Oh, look at that nice sheep. I mean, who's afraid of a sheep? Goats maybe, yeah. But this is a sheep, a lamb. Don't be afraid of that. Look underneath. You're going to find a ravenous wolf. That's what Jesus said. Now, he's not talking literal sheep here. He's talking people. He said, beware of false prophets. They will make you think, I'm just like you are. I love the Bible. I love God. I love Jesus Christ. But when they start talking, they start going down different avenues. Jesus said, beware. This world is filled with them. And that sheep's clothing is going to deceive many people. Or this statement in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15, Paul says, such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. Did you hear that? That's kind of scary. It says false apostles are going to disguise themselves. They are deceitful workers. And that means I've got to really check people out. And that's why I keep telling you, check me out. I mean, my intent is not to mislead anybody, but I can make mistakes. Any preacher can make mistakes. So always check me out. Check out anybody that's telling you anything about the Word of God or about religion. Make sure they're telling you really what the Bible says. Looks and personality sway people. I mean, you could be misled by my charming looks. And I could deceive you about having charming looks. But that's not the final test, is it? The final test is, what is he saying? What is she saying? Is it really what God said in the Bible? That's the final test. And so number three, let's talk again about how do we test the spirits? We recognize evil is at work. We recognize that deceptiveness is part of their tactic. And now we recognize the importance of knowing God's truth. How am I going to know that somebody is deceiving me? I won't know it unless I know the truth. And that's where the Word of God keeps coming in. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. This is a very encouraging statement. He said, we know that we are from God. We know that we are from God. And the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. Wouldn't that be great if you could say, I know that I am of God? Well, you can. You can make that statement. How? Because there is a standard. God has given us the standard, and if we read it, study it, follow it to the best of our ability, combined with the grace of God, we're going to be okay. Never perfect. We're not ever going to be perfect in the flesh. But as long as we're studying, learning, growing, and doing the best that we possibly can, the blood of Christ covers the deficiencies. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. Another alarming passage, but there's a lot of comfort in it as well if we're doing the right thing. 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is by the activity of Satan, with all power and false signs and wonders, and with all wicked deception for those who are perishing. Why are they perishing? Because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. Therefore, God sends them a strong delusion so that they may believe what is false, in order that all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Now, the first thing that may strike you there is God would send delusion? Well, it's for people that already have shown they don't care about truth. They've had the opportunity to know the truth. They've had the opportunity to love the truth, to believe the truth. But they've shown in their lives, I don't care about the truth. I want what I want. And God sends them a spirit of strong delusion. Now, on the good side, that means if I am one that loves the Bible, I know this is the Word of God. I read it regularly. I come to Bible classes. I listen carefully during the sermon. I take notes. I highlight in my Bible. I want to know what God says here. Then I can know that I'm from God, just like John wrote in that passage. And once again, let's note that example in Acts 17, verse 11, of those people in Berea. They were so noble, we're told there. Acts 17 and verse 11, what made them noble? Luke wrote, now these Jews were more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness. Now the word there was what Paul was preaching. They received the preaching of the word with all eagerness, examining the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Bravo, Bereans. That's the right attitude. Don't just swallow anything anybody tells you. Check it out. Prove it against the Word of God. Somebody say, well, you know, the Bible's such a large book. I mean, it's got 66 books, and look how thick it is, and how can I ever master that? Same way you eat an elephant. One bite at a time. And that's how we'll become very proficient in the Bible, is by reading it one day at a time. A little bit here, a little bit there. And before long, you've got an appetite for it. And you can't wait for the time to come when you can sit down and read your Bible. It's going to take you just that way. For the past several years, I've made it a practice to visit my primary care physician a couple of times a year. Not that anything is wrong. It's just for a physical exam and to get checked out. And I think that's wise, because if there is something going on in my body, let's catch it now, while it maybe still can be dealt with, as opposed to just put it off and then it becomes really serious, and by the time it's discovered, too late. And I think that's the idea that we take with us when we come to the Bible, when we come to our condition, our situation in God's sight, because as Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, examine yourselves. Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Don't just assume you are. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. Or do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. So we began by talking about testing the spirits. Now we close by talking about testing ourselves. And God does that for us through his word. Are you led this morning to say, I've not done what the Bible teaches me to do to become a Christian? I thought I was. I heard the word and I believed that Jesus is God's son. I even repented of my sins and I was confessing him to other people. But I've not been baptized for the forgiveness of my sins. Then that's what you need to do. And we would urge you to do it as soon as possible. Satan will say, nah, not today. You got some things you need to do. Put it off. That's Satan. Let's take care of that. It's so important. And if you've done those things and yet you've fallen into sinful practices, you need to get out of those sinful practices and pray for forgiveness as an erring child of God. And God will forgive, but don't put it off. Please, if we can help you in any way, come as we stand and sing. One thing we've learned about Seth over the years is he's concerned about other people. He's talking this morning about a friend of one of our members, and I'm not going to mention any names right now because I've not gotten permission to do that, but this is a friend of one of our members whose son died in a car wreck recently. And I know these are very difficult things, and he wants us to pray for that family to be comforted, to be given God's help in whatever ways are possible. And of course, we all have been touched by tragedies in one way or another, and some more severely than others. But God is always the God of comfort. And so right now, we're going to pray to God for this family and all the friends. Let's bow. Our God and our Father in heaven, we praise you, Lord. You are wonderful and great in every way. You're everything we need, Father, because you made us. And of course, you know what our needs are. And Father, you gave us the gift of your Son. Your Son died in our place because of our sins. He had no sins, but he willingly took ours upon himself. And we can never thank you enough for Jesus. And Father, thank you for the gift of prayer that you've given to your people. Thank you for hearing our prayers. Thank you for being the God of all comfort. And right now, Father, there are many that we know of who are in great need of this comfort, especially for this family that Seth has mentioned. We pray that your comfort will be rich and generous. Bring into their lives those people that can help them. And Father, just help them to get through the difficult valley through which they're traveling. And thank you for Seth and for his heart of compassion for other people. Lord, may we all think about each other more, to pray for each other more, and to do whatever we can to assist. Bless us, Father. We need you. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper. We'll be singing Highly Exalted. This one will be on the overhead only. This one is not in the book.
You were despised, you were rejected, Lord, those who pass by. Land to the slaughter.
Before we get started, if anyone is in need of one of the communion sets, we have a few folks available to pass them out. So just raise your hand and they'll get them to you. I don't know how others prepare when you're assigned for a devo or presiding. I just know what I do. And you might call it procrastination, but I like to think of it as just reflection and waiting for the right moment. And more and more, and the right answer is more and more, but more and more I just wait, because I know that the Spirit will share with me what someone needs to hear. And so I know that this thought I had this morning around be still and know that I am God, I know that there's someone watching or listening or in here today that will speak to them. But I really didn't put my thoughts together. And then Josh led a song. And one of the lines is, I will be still and know that you are God. And that just reinforced it. That someone needs to be reminded at this time to be still. And I started thinking about some of the action words or verbs that are in Jesus' ministry. And some of them are come. Some of them are go. Some of them are teach, baptize, do, be. Well, that brought me back to be still. Be still is an action. Sometimes it's a challenge for us to quiet the noise that we have going on. Now, when I'm asked to do presiding, I always make sure that I get up pretty quickly, because there's a panic that happens when there's a long period of silence. I don't know if it's 2 seconds, I don't know if it's 1.2 seconds, but if you're Dan Heaton or Jason or Doug Booten, that panic hits you first. The person presiding is still here, right? But many might get distracted if you don't see someone move quickly, because those uncomfortable silences are uncomfortable for a reason. Now, when I preside, I always go to Luke 22. And so that's where we're going today. Jesus had earnestly desired to share the Passover with his disciples. He knew what was coming. He knew what God's plan was. He knew the significance. He wanted them to be still. And in Luke 22, he says, and he took the bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Our Father, we love you and we thank you. And Father, we know that you are with us at all times, Lord. And Father, we thank you. Your grace is continuous and your love is everlasting, Lord. And your hope is that we continually remember and come to you, and that we come to you first, and that we do your will, and that we go and we teach. And Father, in this moment, we remember Christ and the body that was broken for us and given for us. And Father, we thank you for this. We thank you for Christ. We thank you for your word, your spirit, your teaching, your comfort, Lord.
We ask the blessing of this bread in Christ's name. Amen. Likewise, he also took the cup, and after supper he said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." Let's pray. Father, we continue this prayer, and we thank you for this blood of Christ. And Father, we know from all the teachings, there is no other way to you. Nothing can cleanse us but the blood of Christ. And Father, we're grateful for that blood and for Jesus to give himself. We know that it could not happen any other way. So Father, we thank you. We love you. And we ask the blessing of this cup in Christ's name. Amen. We also have an opportunity to give. And the concept of giving and the practice of giving is about recognizing that God owns it all. It's really all his. It's not ours. And so God doesn't need our money. He needs us. He doesn't need a few minutes of our time. It's already his. The concept of giving is for us to recognize and help. So at this time, whether you've given online or given in the basket in the back, or you'll drop it on the way out or mail it, let's give God thanks for all the blessings. Father, we thank you. All of this is yours, Lord. Father, we thank you. You have given so much. You gave first, you gave greatly, you gave it all. Christ came, he lived, he taught, and Father, he died for us. You gave it all. So Father, as we give, we give in Christ's name. We give helping. We give knowing that you gave it all, Lord. And as we give back to you, we recognize that. We help. For Father, we ask that the blessing of all of this is in Christ's name. Amen.
Let's again go to God in prayer. Our Father, we're thankful to you for the freedom that we have to come together to worship you openly, to be able to proclaim your word, your will, not only for us, but for the entire world. Proclaim this openly so that the message can go out to those who truly need it. We pray that you will help us to always be students of your word, that we might gauge whatever we hear, but also whatever we say and whatever we do by your word, so that we may live closer to you each day of our lives. We pray that you'll be with those that we're about to mention and others as well. Be with those in sickness, be with those in sorrow. Help us to be a strength and a servant whenever we can. Bless us as we go from this place. Help us to carry your word in word and in example each day of our lives. We ask in Christ's name, amen. We have the following announcements. The Smile Pack project items are due today. An assembly party is planned in cooperation with the Hispanic Church on Monday, July 28th at 6 p.m., that is tomorrow, in the downstairs fellowship hall. Please sign the sheet located at the Smile Pack table if you plan to attend. The Shining Light Project bags of gifts are due today. Distribution to the families will be on August the 2nd, that's a Saturday, from 3 to 5 p.m. And helpers are needed for this. Speak with Billy Miller, Sherry Pierce, or Ashley Seal if you have any questions. Today begins our next cycle of the visitation program. We will meet downstairs today after Sunday morning worship. We request your attendance if possible for this one. The meeting will cover feedback on the program itself, visitation options, and a potluck style potato bar. The TLC Ladies Conference will be September 5th through 7th in Pigeon Forge. The deadline for registration is this week, July 31st. See the Daily Focus for details on how to register or speak with April or George Ann Green. A new session of Digging Deep will begin in September. If you would like to purchase a book, let Kim Seaton know by August 1st. Also see Kim Seaton for more information. Men's Day will be next Saturday, August the 2nd. Please register if you plan to attend. Digging Deep will meet on Monday, July 28th at 6 p.m. Please remember these in prayer. Emily W. is scheduled to undergo surgery this Thursday. She has asked for our prayers that all will go well. Steve I. is showing some progress as he continues twice weekly treatments for light change melanoma. He and Debbie send their thanks for your prayers and help. Gerald and Deborah M., friends of Angie Simmerly, would like the prayers of the church. They're having health problems. Jason W. has suffered a broken wrist, finger, and hip. His father, Kevin W., asked for our prayers for him. Kevin also often does heating and air conditioning work for Central. Please see the Daily Focus for more information and prayer requests. We hope to see you here tonight. It will be cool in the building. There's not much better place to be on a Sunday evening. Come worship with us again, and you are dismissed.